Lord, we come before you this beautiful Sunday morning, so grateful for who you are, grateful for your sovereignty on this day. Lord, we sing that song, "How Great is Our God." And we mean that from the bottom of our souls, from the bottom of our hearts. Your goodness is not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on where we are at today or where we will be tomorrow. Lord, your word says that you are good and your love endures forever. So help us to remember that. Help us to live with that posture that you are God and God alone. So Lord, we also say thank you this morning. Thank you for who you are, for the way that you have shown yourself to us in so many different ways. Lord, I lift up our mothers that are in the room today, those that are under the sound of my voice, maybe watching online, that you, Lord, that you show them how much they are valued. That today is a day where we could take and celebrate and honor who they are and what they have done for us. But God, we also acknowledge the fact that not many people have a good relationship with their mother. Maybe there are some that are here that want to be mothers. Some that are here that have been hurt by a mother. Lord, show your grace today. Speak to them. Show them that you are a shoulder to lean on, that you are a rocking chair in the midnight hour, that your word never returns void. So Lord, I ask that you use this message for that, to make your goodness and your grace clear and shown and demonstrated, and that above all, you allow me to become less this morning so that you can become more. Lord, we can't go without praying for the persecuted church around the globe. Those that are unable to worship without having to fear a bomb coming through their window or a government reaching over. God, we have a great freedom here where we can proclaim that Jesus is King without having fear of our lives being at risk. So Lord, we give you the glory. Help us to steward that freedom well. Use this message for you and for your glory. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray these things. Amen. Hey, happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. If you're new with us, please make sure that you fill out that card in the back of the seat in front of you. Get it to the table there in the Welcome Center. We'll get someone in touch with you this coming week, and we want to get you plugged in. But ultimately, we are so glad you're here. So happy Mother's Day again. Those that are literal mothers, those that are spiritual mothers, those that are mothers-in-law, those that are former mothers, and those that are desired mothers. I say it again. Happy Mother's Day. Man, I cannot tell you just how influential various women or mothers have been to me in my life. Whether it be from the wisdom that was shared with me, from the toughness that I witnessed mothers partake in, like childbirth. Can I get an amen, somebody? From the prayers that they have prayed, to the love that I was given. I think it's safe to say that everybody in this room has been influenced by a mother in your life in some way or another. Again, whether it's your literal mother or in some other way. Now, I have to say that I agree wholeheartedly with Billy Graham when he said these words. He said, "Only God Himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding of character in her children." So with that being said, we're going to look today at what makes a mother so influential. What makes a mother so motivated to continue to stay on mission and raise up the next generation of kids that aren't just Christians, but rather all in followers of Jesus. So if you could, please turn with me. The book of Titus is where we are going to land. We're taking a little bit of a break again from Revelation. We will get to it, and we will, Lord willing, by the end of the year, finish that book. But we're going to take a look at Titus today. It's particularly chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. But I'll start by reading verse 1. The message for this morning is called A Mother on a Mission. Say it with me. Come on, church. A mother on a mission. That's right. You guys are louder than the first service. A mother on a mission. Now, I get that, you know, if it could be easy if you've been hurt in the past by church, that you can hear this message and you could say, well, this man, he's just gonna be up there and he's just gonna mansplain all of this to me. I promise I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. That's what Titus did here, and that's what the Apostle Paul wrote. Can I get an amen, somebody? Amen. So again, Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, page 1184, if you're using that Bible in the back of the seat in front of you. Let's start by reading verses 1 through 3. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. So see, there you go. The men, you're not getting off the hook this morning. Paul is writing to you too. But now verse 3, it's where we're going to pick it up. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. Let's stop right there. Our first point for us this morning is this: a mother on a mission is a bold mother. A mother on a mission is a bold mother. Paul is writing to Titus here some basic yet very important instructions for him to follow as he jumps into this new role of pastor to a church that's in Crete. So this is a very brief book. You can see it. There's 3 chapters in total. Of course, these didn't exist at the original writing of the book. There's 3 chapters in total, 46 total verses, but it is packed with content that is more than necessary as it relates to the foundational truths for a biblically sound and efficient and effective church. He starts by giving him a greeting. So Titus, he's this Greek follower of Jesus. Paul is writing to him, he greets Titus, and then he jumps right into the role of the elders within the church, and then the very next thing that he writes about is the importance of teaching sound doctrine. He starts chapter 2 by addressing Titus. Then he has a verse for the older men. And then in verses 3 through 5, and this again where we're going to be focusing today, he almost turns his attention to the older women. Paul writes that a woman that wants to honor God starts by honoring her family. He writes that women are to be reverent in behavior. Now, reverent is a word that is defined as feeling or showing deep and solemn respect. He then writes about what this looks like, practically speaking, by saying that they are not slanderers or slaves to much wine. Now, you say, well, that sounds pretty simple. That checks out. You know, that seems pretty easy, but let me assure you that this is very hard to abide by. A slanderer is a gossip or someone that'll run your name through the mud at any opportunity that they get. Someone that is quick to gossip and give you the latest news around town despite whether or not they know all the facts. It's interesting that Paul writes that this in a way that describes what a woman, he's writing this almost in a way that describes what a godly woman is not. It's almost like he's writing this from experience. But Paul is saying that a woman that is loyal is a woman that shows respect even when nobody's watching. They're not addicted to much wine, meaning that they have self-control and can be trusted, even when those around them aren't even holding them accountable. They don't have this reverent posture only at necessary times, but rather at all times. It means they don't just put on a Christian face on Sunday morning as they're getting out of the door of their car heading into church, but rather that they have a Christian face on at all times because their entire lives are overflowing with the goodness and the grace of God. So they don't just have this happy face when they come into church to make themselves look good. Husbands, look up here. They have this face at all times because they have themselves been touched and been shown the grace of God. Being a mother on a mission means that they stand firm on the truth even when the direction of the culture tries to sway them away. And finally, and perhaps the most important ingredient in all of these characteristics that have been listed so far, Paul writes that they are to teach. You hear this? They are to teach what is good. Now here's where it gets interesting. Because teaching what is good is not always teaching what is welcomed. Teaching what is good is also parallel to disciplining. Teaching what is good is also parallel to teaching what is truthful. That's pretty straightforward. And let me tell you, that's not just limited to your kids. Teaching what is good is teaching the good news and the teachings of the Bible at all times to everyone the mother on mission comes in contact with. It's so evident that teaching what is good is not just taught because it's something that we're supposed to do, but because the teachings of God's word is what equips those being taught to take on the troubles and the trials of the world, no matter what they might be. It's this teaching that moms ingrain in their children so that when their children grow up, they don't depart from it. And instead of their children crumbling and being intimidated at the direction of the world, they learn to look up while standing on God's word and say, this is where I stand, and this is what's going to get me through, as my friend from Florida used to say, because my mama taught me so. You see, a mother's bold teaching of the Bible is what results in bold children for the gospel. I'm going to say that again. Write that. If you're going to take notes, write this down. A mother's bold teaching of the Bible is what results in bold children for the gospel. A bold mother knows that God's word never changes, no matter where the world may go, no matter what problems may arise, and no matter what questions may be asked. Teaching what is good is teaching God's word in season and in out, not with only today in mind, but the lifetime of the one that you're teaching. You see, a bold mother never stops teaching the truth to their children, and she never stops praying. She knows and trusts the power of God because she knows and trusts the power of prayer. What a beautiful picture, what a beautiful picture of an example mother that Paul is illustrating here. And what a shame it is that motherhood has become such a lost joy in our culture. You see, mothers who have their kids and can't wait to get their maternity leave over so that they can get back to work and go and climb the ladder and focus on their career after dropping their kids off at a local daycare where they raised your children and you don't even know who they were. They say, man, I can't wait to get my kids out of my hair. I can't wait to get back to work because I just want to get back to making money. I can't stand my kids. I just want to get back into my career so that I can build up my own future. You know, I've been learning over the last few years of being a parent and listening and learning from other parents that whose kids are grown up and having grandkids and even some that have great grandkids. The one regret that I have seen run consistent through all of these parents that have done it well is that they didn't have enough kids. And let me tell you, some of y'all got a lot of kids. So this investment that you make into your children is eternally more valuable than any amount of money you'll ever get paid at your job. anymore. Being a mother that prioritizes your family is a radical decision. But my friend, let me tell you that it is a radical decision that has radical benefits and blessings that will carry on with you into eternity. Yes, you got to tell your kids the same thing time after time after time after time after time after time after time again. Yes, there are times when you have to go outside and step away from the situation. Or you have to go in your own room and lock the door behind you to distance yourself from all the screaming. I'm not speaking from experience. Or you wake up with your eyes heavy, with crust on them because you didn't sleep at all that night. Because you probably didn't. But listen to this. A survey sponsored by Welch's in 2020 found the average stay-at-home mother works the same as about 2.5 full-time jobs. Did you hear that? Works the same as about 2.5 full-time jobs when caring for their children. The report found the average mother, again, I don't know how they came up with these, but I believe it is true. The report found the average mother works around 14 hours a day, starting at 6:32 a.m. and finishing at 8:31 p.m., with only approximately 1.7 hours of free time in this schedule. Someone in the first service said that's being generous. The study indicates the degree of work done by a woman adds up to be around a 98-hour work week. So the point I'm trying to make is yes, it is indeed the hardest job on the planet. But then all of a sudden, you see that kid that you have been teaching to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and it just doesn't seem like it's getting through to your child. And then all of a sudden you see them at the park giving a hug to a kid that's been bullied. Or all of a sudden you hear them say thank you without having to ask. Or you hear them talking about God with one of their friends without you even having to interject. You hear them and you see them stand up for what's right in the world that so many things oftentimes go wrong. So yes, it is the hardest job in the world, but how does the saying go? It is also the most rewarding job in the world. It's all of a sudden you look back one day and you see what your child has become or those that you have mentored and helped to grow, and you say, maybe all of that struggling was worth it. You see, being a mother on a mission is bold because raising a Jesus-centered family in the culture we live in today is bold. The enemy knows that the biggest threat to his agenda is a family that is all in for the gospel, and he will do anything that he can to get in the way of it. A mother on a mission knows that if you want to change the world, hear this, church, a mother on a mission knows that if you want to change the world, you start by teaching your child about Jesus and showing them the importance of a relationship with him. Let's keep moving. Verse 4. We're going to start by reading the last part of verse 3. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. Point number 2. A mother on a mission is a focused mother. A mother on a mission is a focused mother. Paul writes here that a woman that teaches the younger women and loves her husband is a woman that is wise, tough, and bold. This is countercultural today. You hear this modern day feminism that says women should be equal to men in every aspect. They need to look the same. They need to have the same jobs and they need to play the same roles. But you see, God created men and women differently for a reason, and that is a good thing. You're like, man, I was hoping we weren't going to go there this morning. I just brought my friend, you know. But I like the way that Matthew Henry put it. He said this. The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to top him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be loved. It's not this idea that men need to be the dominating authority and tell the women what to do. It's this biblical understanding that men and women are to respect one another and their roles equally. Women are to submit to their husbands because the husbands show the utmost respect for their wife. And some of you men know darn well that there are times that your wives have been in the driver's seat. Now don't start getting all insecure in here acting like you didn't hear that. I think back to all the times when my daughters, I shouldn't say all the times, it's very rare, that my daughters would misbehave. Or they would do something at home and they wouldn't be listening to me when I'm stepping in trying to correct them, even though I'm trying to, time and time again, telling them to stop, same thing. Then all of a sudden, mama comes down the stairs and they perk their ears up and they look at her. And they're all of a sudden behaving and she hasn't even done anything yet. I'm like, did you just... And I also think back to the time where our family was struggling terribly financially. And my wife chose to get a job walking other people's dogs just to help put food on the table because the two jobs that I was working weren't enough to pay the bills. Walking around our neighborhood with a wagon and the kids, two kids under 3 years old in the back, a dog on a leash in front, trying to put food on the table. You see a mother that's... A mother that's on mission is a mother that's focused on what's important. They don't care about what the world thinks of their godly decisions that she's making. She understands that it is hard work, but keeps her head down, keeps her eyes up, and keeps her hands busy with what the Lord has called her to do. Can I get an amen, somebody? So what does that look like? Some of you are here and you're in the trenches of motherhood and you're asking what you are doing now and what you can do to point your kids to Jesus. Well, it's so much more simple than you could think. It looks like reading the Bible to your kids at dinner time and praying with your children before they go to bed. It looks like turning off that show on television that's trying to indoctrinate the woke material into your innocent kids and turning that off so they don't watch it and grow up knowing that stuff for years to come. They're just not ready. It looks like taking the time to teach your children the difference between what is of God and what is not when it comes to what they're learning at school. All of these decisions that you feel are so small and have no impact because you're having to make sacrifices today, they actually make an impact that lasts all the way into eternity. Verse 4 right here gives you the recipe for a godly family that I believe has the power to change the world. Paul is making it clear that a woman that stays loyal to her husband and focused on her children is a woman that has found the truth and has gotten joy because of it. Listen to these facts that have been found from social sciences. Children raised in intact married families are more likely to attend college, are physically and emotionally healthier, are less likely to be physically or sexually abused, are less likely to use drugs and alcohol and to commit delinquent behaviors. They have a decreased risk of divorcing when they get married. They're less likely to become pregnant or impregnate someone as a teenager. Why do I read you this? Because this is not your pastor up here trying to tell you that this stuff works. I'm telling you that it has been proven to work. And oh, by the way, it has worked for over 2,000 years. Though the culture has changed, this is still the truth. This is why the enemy is constantly seeking ways to destroy the family. Because a family that is in step with the Holy Spirit makes an incredible impact for the kingdom of God. I often say it like this: there is nothing that is a bigger threat to the enemy than a godly family. You see, while a mother is focused on raising up a godly generation, the enemy is doing anything that he can to grab your attention. But a woman that fears God fears nothing else, because she knows that it is Him who is in control. I'm going to say that one more time because I want to make sure that that's clear. A woman that fears God fears nothing else, because she knows that it is God who is in control. That's going to bring me to the last characteristic of a mother on a mission. And let's wrap this up with verse 5, but I'm going to go again back to the end of verse 3. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. And then verse 5, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God might be reviled. Point number 3, a mother on a mission is a godly mother. A woman on a mission is a godly mother. Paul then is getting into some pretty specific characteristics of what this godly woman does. They are self-controlled. They are pure. They work at home. They are kind. They are submissive to their own husbands. But then he explains the why behind all of this when he says that this is done so that the word of God might be reviled. Now, reviled means to speak of someone or something in an abusive manner. So Paul, writing this purpose directly after writing about the characteristics, shows that the reason that the women are to act and carry themselves in this way is not for themselves. It's not for those that they're leading. Listen to this. It's not even for their husbands so that they will love them. It's not for their kids. It's so that the word of God might be reviled. Church, it's for the glory of God. You see, a mother on a mission is a mother that gives glory to God in every area of her life. She is self-controlled. She's not overcome with lust, caught up in the latest trends of the world. She's pure. She's not fooling around in the bars or on the social media sites. She works at home. Now, that's an interesting one. She finds joy in raising her family and getting the house in order. She knows that the Lord is glorified by what may come off to many as minuscule or insignificant. She tends the garden and then prepares and equips the kids for what the world has in store years down the road. They are kind, Paul writes to Titus. They are kind. That is so important. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, yet it is so often forgotten. The godly mother understands that it is the kindness of the Christian that leads outsiders to repentance. Kindness is the DNA of the godly mother, because kindness was freely given to the godly mother. And finally, they're submissive to their husbands. She trusts him and he trusts her. Even when she doesn't agree with all of his decisions, can I get an amen, somebody? She trusts that his intentions are right and loves him because of it. Not saying that all of his decisions are right. Someone at first service said, that's a sermon for Father's Day. But this isn't a blind following, even though he's failed time and time again. It's a high amount of self-awareness, fully knowing that he values her and her opinions and makes decisions accordingly. The characteristics of a godly mother are made crystal clear here in Paul's letter to Titus, because it has been proven time and time again throughout all of history that these characteristics work. And let me tell you this, and I said this earlier, maybe it's a side note, or a rabbit trail, whatever you want to call it, but I believe that this is a very important point that needs to be made. When a nation gets this in order, when a nation gets this right, when the nation prioritizes the glory of God above the desires of man or woman, the nation thrives, the mothers thrive, and the families thrive. One of the first telltale signs of a nation that's falling is a nuclear family that's falling apart as well. The world will try to tell you that women need to get back to work, live your lives now, wait to have kids and settle down, prioritize your life above everything else because you are the only one that matters. But man, let me tell you that there is nothing that is more important than raising up the next generation of followers of Jesus. And there is nobody, hear this, that spends more time with the children than the moms. That's statistically proven. Now, some of you are saying, well, this holiday is hard on me because I've not been able to have kids, or I don't speak with my kids, or maybe you're in a position of having messed up your relationship with your kids, or maybe you want nothing to do with your mother at all because of the abuse that she has brought onto you. But I want you to know that I hear you, I see you, and I understand that that is probably one of the hardest things that you will ever face in your life. But here is what you can do. You can pray and you can trust. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him." My friend, bring your needs before the Lord and be as specific as you can. His word says that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything according to his will. Instead of being discouraged that your son has gone off the deep end despite all of the hours that you have spent and dedicated to him, getting in God's word and the money that you have spent on his upbringing, and instead of being discouraged as you watch him go that direction, be encouraged that you serve a God who makes all things new in his time. Instead of raising a fist at God because you haven't been able to have that perfect child that you prayed so hard for and he still won't give you, look to him for opportunities for you to speak life into others that maybe didn't get the mom that they wish they had. And for those that have lost a child, remember that God has a plan. God has a purpose. And his ways are higher above our ways, and there is nothing that can steal your joy because you have a home in heaven that awaits you. This Mother's Day is a day that we celebrate because mothers truly have had an influence on our lives. And they deserve to know that. Man, I better hear amen. To all of you mothers out there, know that you are seen. Know that you are appreciated. And it is the most important work you will ever do. So moms, be bold. Stay focused. And represent God in a culture that wants absolutely nothing to do with him. Because you do that, and you will be able to fulfill the mission that God has called you to. Amen? Let's pray. So Lord, we give you all the glory. We know that you are in control, and we know that that's good. You have plans for us. And Lord, we trust those plans, even when we don't like what's in front of us. So God, I ask that you speak life today. It's for your glory, and in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.